This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Vera Payne, live from the NVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. League of Legends patch 9.6 is upon us, and joining me to give a breakdown on this latest patch is League of Legends Champion Series analyst Alberto Renjifo. Thanks for joining me, Alberto.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm always happy to talk about video games.
Before we jump into League of Legends, tell me a little bit about yourself. How did you get in the industry?
Okay, so I was born in Venezuela, and I used to be a sailor there, so I was all about sports. And then I moved to Canada. And in Canada, turns out the water is way colder than in Venezuela, but I wasn't that into sailing anymore. I needed something to do, and it just turned out that gaming was a really easy outlet for competition, which is something that was in me from competing as a sailor before, so I naturally drifted into that. And one thing led to another. Before I knew it, I was at an event in Atlantic City, and I made $1,000 in one weekend. And after that, I was like, okay, I think I want to do this. And I was in university, and I know it sounds like a crazy thing to do, but I wasn't that into it. So I chose to drop out and pursue gaming. So I moved out of my parents' house, just went straight to Los Angeles, and it's been like 8 years since, maybe nine.
Wow. So did you go pro, or how did that work out?
So at first, there weren't any real pro teams and whatnot. It was more of a tournament organizer has enough money to make a tournament and then pay out people for competing in it. But I joined at the time where teams were starting to go to sponsors directly and ask, hey, we want to make tournaments too, and we want to have teams to participate in these tournaments. We can give you some advertising for free if you sign with us and help pay our players. And so at that same time, one of the teams was coming up and said, hey, now, we've got some sponsors. We can actually pay you. So moving down to Los Angeles was part of the first salaried position. And in fact, I actually hold the first P1A visa that the United States ever gave out.
Wow.
When P1 is what they give to athletes. So at the time, it was a big deal to say that the U.S. government was starting to consider esports athletes professional athletes.
So how did you get into League of Legends, though? Was that the game that started it all for you?
Well, I got into games in Venezuela because my parents held a technology company where they taught people how to use computers. So it was really straightforward for me to sneak after hours and play on the computer when they weren't there. But League of Legends specifically was more of a thing that my school was holding a different game that was the inspiration to League of Legends. And they had tournaments about this game. So I didn't even start at that. I was just playing something else, and then my friends told me, hey, stop playing that one. Come play League of Legends with us. So I joined League of Legends simply to follow my friends and be able to play with them, because gaming has always been a social activity for me.
Wow, so all this then led you to becoming a commentator?
Yeah. I mean, I dropped out, and I figured, okay, if I'm moving down here, there's no way I'm going back to Canada, so I might as well find out what this whole business is about and see what I can do. And it turned out that one of the best transitions for players is to then go into being a commentator. It's like watching Joe Montana go from a football player to a football commentator. So it was a thing like that for me, and so one thing led to another, and then I'm doing this.
So what position did you play in League of Legends?
So in League of Legends, there's five positions, and I play one that's called the jungle. And the jungle, what you do is you help everyone else. That's what the jungle's role is.
Awesome, man. So upcoming patch, 9.6. I read that Teemo's update is being held off. Do you know why?
Yeah, Teemo's update's held off. Maybe because it was April Fool's, actually. I do think that some of the balance choices are around that. That the patches, they don't want to make big changes before big tournaments. And so we're very close to one of the big tournaments in the halfway point of the year called the Mid-Season Invitational, where they'll invite the best team out of South Korea, China, Europe, North America, and a few others, and then they'll all compete. And so if they make a patch and say balance a champion like Timo that's too strong. It could change everything up for the competitive scene, and that would be really difficult for the viewer base because you don't want to mess with what the pro players are doing too much without giving them enough time to adjust to it.
Now, last patch, Kayla and Morgana, they got reworked. How do you think that's been faring?
So Morgana didn't really get much of a change except her visual. She just looks cool now, so that's good. And Kayle, she looks really cool, but she's now made into a very strong late-game champion. So it just means that instead of being strong when you start the game, you're going to have to wait like 30 minutes till you actually do something. So it could be fun to see what teams come up with that strategy because she is so powerful that if they can find a way to not lose the game in 30 minutes and still have a Kayle, you've got a good shot.
Now, in the upcoming patch 9.6, I saw that the Brawler Glove, it's getting changed. Do you know why it's getting changed?
I think that was a small little tweak because they just wanted to make sure that the passives are not unique, I think is what the change was, so that you can buy two of them, right? Because before you buy one, and then you can't buy another one because the passives are unique. But if you can buy two of them, then you can just have them in your inventory and still help you build good items later on.
Do you think that's going to overpower early game for characters like Tryndamere and Gangplank?
I don't think so. You always need damage to make crit chance worth it because you may have, say, 100% crit chance, but if your damage is 50, your crit is only, it's double that, right? So your crit is only 100, whereas if you have, say, 200%, 200 damage and then a little bit of crit, then that crit amplifier is going to be really high. So 200 AD, if you have, say, 50% crit chance, half the hits that you do are going to be 400. So it's a lot more valuable to have more damage early on. And Brawler's Gloves is not an item that a lot of people get early on.
One of the things I've also noticed is Urgot is getting some massive changes, like an overhaul. What's up there?
Yeah, so he was super good. He was so good before that they had to just get rid of him. They nerfed him a lot, and then they realized, okay, we still want to see Urgot being played. So they changed his shield back to his leap, I believe, so that he now has to be more of an engaged champion as opposed to just a big meatball. I'm curious to see what they do with it. The base values are pretty good on him, so I'm expecting him to actually make a pretty big return. It's just that they're changing the way that he plays based on the abilities now.
I was reading that they're going to change the bounty system. Could you explain it?
The bounty system is kind of like a, you know, just your old Wild Wild West bounty system. Some guy's out there doing something nasty, and then there's a bounty on his head. So the bounty is if you got a lot of kills, well, you're worth a lot of gold. And so they're changing the CS aspect about it, so CS being the creep score, so the minions that you passively kill. So they're making sure that bounty is a little more manageable because it was unfair to a lot of players that were just good at laning or just good at playing the game without getting any kills, and then they have a huge bounty on their heads just because they were good and the opponent was bad because the CS differential or creep score is based off of the difference against your counterpart and not some arbitrary value of a high amount. So this is a good change moving forward.
Now, besides all the ones that we talked about, are there any nerfs or buffs that you think stick out for this particular patch?
The Jace nerf. He's such a strong champion right now that reducing his base stats is a good way of making him significantly weaker while not ruining the experience of a satisfying use of abilities. So usually a big nerf is when the abilities are nerfed so that the champion, you know, shoots out a rocket and now the rocket does 50% less damage. That feels really bad for the player. So they wanted to avoid that. And by reducing base health, base regen, and all these aspects of the champion, it makes it so that you still get that satisfying element of doing really well, but you just have to be a lot more careful about how you play the laning phase with these champions.
Now, I did notice that there are going to be some new skins this patch. Is there any skin that you're looking forward to or you're going to pay for?
You know, I usually don't buy any skins anymore.
Really?
But if I had one, I would actually choose the Cat Yorick skin. We've been asking for that skin for years. I kid you not, it's been years. We wanted Crazy Cat Lady Yorick, but we didn't get it. And so they made up with it with the Cat Yorick, or I forget, Crazy Yorick Cat, whatever they call it, honestly, it's mostly because I just got a cat as well. So now I guess I'm on that boat.
And it's Meowrick. And Yorick is one of my favorite characters. And I absolutely love the animation for it. He's got his three little cats. And then the maiden looks like a big cat with a scarf. It's hilarious. And it was well
and
done with that.
And he finds even set a cat. And yeah. I think the funniest part is how they didn't change the voice lines of him. So he doesn't say cute lines. He just says, oh, these souls bind you to the hell and the heavens. Like, well, they're cats. He's surrounded in cats.
Yeah, and when the cats attack, there's scratch animation, too.
Yeah, that's going to be annoying. Yeah. I swear it's going to get old very quickly hearing all that meowing.
Oh, you know what? I was thinking that, too. But the Corgi Quirky, I just like the name of it. That was a good one, too. I thought that one's sick.
I'm really happy that they're doing those skins. And while I don't like the fifth skin that turns him into a little dog, I do really like the direction that Riot is going with, and that they're not afraid of releasing a skin that completely changes the appearance of a champion.
Yes, that is so true. I thought this similar thing because it's a dog, and
right.
They went all out on that. I mean, they had to change everything, and that was very clever of them. I thought that was nice. The Rengar was cute, though.
Yeah. Cute cat Rengar.
Thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you being here. For those listening, where can they find more information about you?
Well, you guys can tune into twitch.tv/riotgames, where I am a analyst on the show. So the big North American league, where we have the best players that we can offer competing 2 seasons a year, a few international events, a world championship. I'm a mainstay out of all of those tournaments. And so if they want to catch out what I'm doing, I'm there every weekend. You guys can tune in, watch the show, spam the chat, be a part of the thing.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's masonverapayne.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.